would turn with me to Luke chapter 8, if you wish to read along this morning. I want to start reading with verse 5 of Luke chapter 8. The word of the Lord reads, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" The parable of the sower was the first parable that the Lord taught his disciples. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 13. Mark chapter 4, and here in Luke chapter 8. We don't know why he chose to start with this. I have my reasons as to why he would choose to start with this one. And that is that these disciples needed to understand what they were about to experience with the Lord's ministry. And not only with the Lord's ministry amongst that region, but with their own ministry amongst that region. That whenever they went forth and preached the Word of God in that region, that there was going to be different responses to that they preached. It is very important before we take a look at this parable that you understand that this seed that was sown was the Word of God, the preached Word of God. The Lord preached it, His disciples, His apostles preached it, and we pray that we're gathered here today preaching that same gospel. And it's important for us to understand that all four of these groups that the Lord has broken these down into all heard the word that was preached to them. There's not one of these groups that define a child of wrath. These groups describe a child of the living God. Whenever you go down, and this makes one of the easiest parables to interpret because the Lord interpreted it for us. If we would have continued reading down, you would have read that they asked the Lord, they asked Him, and it's recorded in more depth in Matthew chapter 13, is, "Why do you speak to us in parables?" The Lord told them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and it is not given unto them. But that I'm going to speak to you in these parables," and then He interpreted what this parable meant. And when you read the interpretation in each and every one of the accounts, you'll read, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear." There's the first group. Those by the wayside are they that hear. They heard what they said. And Scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I stand before you this morning convinced by using the Word of God as my defense that those who are children of the wrath don't have an ear to hear the Word of the living God. But these four groups, each and every one of them, those that fell by the wayside heard. They that are on the rock are they which when they hear. I'm in verse 13 down in Luke chapter 8, just kind of summarizing to make the point. "And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard. And they which fell upon good ground are those that when they hear." Each and every one of those four groups that He broke these groups down into heard the Word. They heard that Jesus preached unto them. But did that mean that all of them who heard, that all become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. And that's what we try to preach today and try to teach God's children about today is that just because some hear the gospel and don't become followers of Jesus does not mean that they don't belong to God by grace. It just means that they don't get to enjoy that which you and I have met today and enjoy. And here you have a group. The first group is those who fell by the wayside. These seeds fell by the wayside. I don't know how many gardeners we have in the congregation today, but you know, some of these things... We've tried to make the point before, but that the Lord used agricultural examples all the time because the Lord's gospel is to the common man. And most of the time when you think of a common man, you think about a man with a mule and a plow, plowing up his garden. Not anymore. We know it, I hope we don't use mules anymore. I've never had to do that, but I've heard some awful stories about how tough it was. But it's preached to the common man, the agricultural man, the country boy, the country woman, if you will. It doesn't mean that if you're not that, that you can't benefit from it. But sometimes you have to step back and put yourself in the perspective of these people. And he says that some fell by the wayside. At the house that we live in, a couple miles north of here, in the backyard, the man who owns that ground told me that I could take a tiller and that I could make a garden in the back of my house. And so I took a tiller and I tilled out a space that's probably about 15 foot wide and about, just to throw a number at it, probably about 50 feet long to put seeds in so that we could eat of the ground in our backyard. And the Lord has blessed us with just a bountiful garden this year, and always has, because of the ingredient that's in the chicken houses next door to us. We go over and get about three or four buckets full, and we put it in that garden. And if you want to know some of the best fertilizer around, it's in that chicken house. And the Lord has blessed us to be able to eat of our own ground there in our backyard. And whenever fall comes, if the Lord will be with us, I'm again going to spread turnip seed in that backyard. I don't know how many of you have ever felt of a turnip seed or mustard seed. But you can't just put it in your hand and scatter it like you would a grass seed. It's very fine, very light. You have to mix it with something. I mix it with sand and put it in one of those spreaders where you just turn a knob and it just spreads it everywhere. But in the process of spreading it and turning it, it scatters seed not only in the part that I planted, it scatters it over in the grass. But I've never harvested a mustard or a turnip out of that grass. I can remember growing up on the farm. And it depended on how big the field was. Sometimes you had a road right down the middle of it that you could drive and that you could check the crops in the middle of the field, as opposed to just checking around the corner and not having to walk from the corner to the middle to check the crops. That road that was down the middle was never tilled, was never hared to accept seed. And when seed falls on it, it won't grow. When seed falls in the part that the ground has not been prepared for, it will not bring forth any fruit. And I stand before you convinced, child of God today, that there's a lot of people who sit under and hear about a man named Jesus and what he has done for them, and that he's come to die for them, and that he loves them with an everlasting love. But that because they have not prepared their self, and they have never even opened the Word of God, if it's on their shelf at home, they're not prepared to receive the Word that is preached to them. Does that mean that they don't belong to God? No, they heard the Word. The Lord had given them an ear to hear, but they had not prepared their self to have that soak in that they have heard. They haven't prepared their self. You want to know about a state of a country today? I'll tell you about a state of a country today who has not prepared themselves to hear the Word of God. They may hear it. They may wake up on Sunday morning. They may turn on the TV and hear what's on the TV. And may hear about a man named Jesus being preached to us. It may come through the doors of Macedonia Church or any of the house of God that represents His name in this world today. But they haven't prepared themselves to be able to hear what God has done for them and what the Lord sacrificed for them on the cross at Calvary. When you use words like propitiation, that life, I've never heard that. It's in the Word of the Lord. When you use words that like redemption, it's like, whoa, redemption. I've heard that at the pawn shop, but I've never tried to tie it back into the Word of the Lord. They haven't prepared themselves to receive the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah prophesied about some of these in Isaiah chapter 5. I'm just going to read about two paragraphs from Isaiah chapter 5 if you want to read along with me. But we read there where the prophet Isaiah is pronouncing woes upon certain ones. Woes upon them. He says in Isaiah chapter 5, if I just read one of the examples, in verse 11, he says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are all in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands." You have some folks here who live for what is here and what is now, and that's it. That's it. I'd even go to the point of saying, because I have had it in my own experience, and I'm not here this morning to tell you about my experience. I'm here to tell you about the Lord's work. But I can tell you about one who, whenever I was younger and foolish, much more foolish than I am as a young preacher today, I would come to the house of God on Sunday because I felt like that met the requirements that the Lord had called upon me to do. And it made Mom and Daddy happy too. Made Grandma happy, had the whole family at church. And you know, everybody wanted to be at church. Even went to lunch with them. Made them happy. They wanted everybody to be at home on Sunday. It didn't really matter what you did on Saturday night. If you come to the church on Sunday, you could wash it all clean and make everybody happy. But you know, I wouldn't even wait till Monday morning until I bogged myself back down in the mire of this world. Sometimes it was right after I got up from the lunch table. As soon as everybody said, okay, you've satisfied our needs, I was back to thinking about the here and now. Feed my natural side as opposed to my spiritual side. And that's what we have today. That's what this country has inundated themselves with. And you make no mistake about it, the Lord's judgment comes according to knowledge, and the Lord has blessed this country to have more knowledge about what He's done than any in times past. And because they have not regarded the work of the Lord's hands, woe be unto them. Woe be unto them. But Scripture says that some fell by the wayside. It didn't fall in ground ready prepared to bring forth fruit that the Lord had blessed them to have. It fell by the wayside. It fell in the travel path, if you will. Blind Bartimaeus, you could read in the chapter previous to this account in Matthew chapter 12, the parable of the sowers in Matthew chapter 13, you'll see that there in Matthew chapter 12, they sum it up on blind Bartimaeus, where standing by the wayside. Standing by the wayside. But here you have some seeds who failed. The seeds of the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, those who are represented by those who fell by the wayside belong to the Lord by grace. But because they have not prepared their bodies and prepared themselves and studied to the Word of the Lord, they received not the blessings from that which was preached to them. By and by the devil comes. I needed to mark Matthew chapter 13, but that one right there is throwing me off, so we're just going to throw it down. But in Luke chapter 8, you can read again that the devil comes and that they take away that which was sown in their hearts. Takes it away. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Verse 12 of Luke chapter 8. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, this verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 8, verse 12, is going to force you into two categories. It's going to force you to either believe in gospel regeneration or believe in a temporal salvation, because there's no in-between with this verse of Scripture right here. You either got to believe that the Scripture teaches that when you believe the gospel, you become born again and become a child of God, which Scripture will not uphold in other places, and we can certainly take you there, but we're not going to afford the opportunity to today because I feel like we do that enough. But he says here, lest they should believe and be saved. There's a salvation for in this life to the belief in that which God has given you, and Satan takes it away. Satan takes it away. And the reason why I know that these aren't children of wrath is why is the devil going to come to a child of wrath and take something away from him? If he cast out powers by the power of Beelzebub, is what the Lord said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Satan's not going to come and take something away from Satan. These are children of the living God, who as soon as they hear and they rejoice in the message about Jesus, they soon forget about it as soon as they head out the door. There's no ground in there to take it. And the Scripture even says that the next example are those that fall upon hard ground. Hard ground. There's two types of ground that you don't want to farm. One of them is sandy, the other one's hard. If you find some sand, you don't have very fertile ground there. The only examples I have come from where I grew up down there. I can remember as a kid, when Daddy was trying to expand his place and be able to farm more land, I can remember it like it was yesterday. We'd go over there and we'd check that grain. And we'd look at it, not too sandy. Too sandy. And what you'll find down there in that part of the country is that the flood influenced depending on which side of the river that the land is on, how sandy it is. There's evidence of a flood all over this creation that we stand on here today. We leased some to hunt on down there, just the sandiest dirt. It wouldn't grow a pine tree over head high. They planted, the man who owned it tried to plant pines on it, and it wouldn't even grow. It was sandy ground. There's sandy ground, and then there's ground that's hard. You can't get it, you can't break it up. In other words, you can't turn it over to be ready to receive a seed. And it's hard. And some of those seeds fell on that hard ground, and in all the joy they received it. But they didn't have any foundation, so it popped up, and as soon as temptation came, Matthew chapter 13, as soon as persecution came because of the truth, it withered away. It withered away. I tell you, one of the biggest blessings and one of the most eye-opening experiences is to stand and preach a funeral service to people of several different orders. And preach to people of several different orders. Because when you stand and you preach grace to them, they'll amen that grace. I know at my brother's funeral last weekend that pallbearers and the honorary pallbearers that are sitting over here, I saw them every one before I walked in. None of them belonged to the Old Baptist Church. But in preaching from Matthew chapter 20 about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming and requesting that one sit on the right and the other on the left in thy glory. And the Lord told him, he said, it's not for me to give. And in the process of saying it's not for me to give, he was certainly teaching them it's not yours to request. But it is for them for whom it is prepared of my Father. When I said that, amen. Amen over here. They amen the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They amen the God that prepares a home for his children and for those who he chooses it for. But anon, with joy, they receive it. They enjoy the hearing that. They know that because they have the Spirit of God within them, and they say they rejoice about a God that's able. But as soon as they get out in the world, and they say, now you know the people that believe that, don't you? You know who they are, don't you? No, I don't. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they do. Yeah. I know who they are. They don't want to be affiliated with it any past that. They've received it, and they rejoice about it. But as soon as they find out about that old meeting house down that dirt road down the way that maybe hadn't come up to terms with the modern day building projects of the world, and they find about a people that don't string a guitar or play the piano there in front of the house, when persecution arises because of the word, they're not prepared to take it. They're not prepared to receive the accusations that exist against the Lord's people today. They'll come up, well, my girlfriend or my wife's mother belonged to them people, and we just kind of go to church down there. But I tell you what, they receive and rejoice in the blessings that they hear on that pew every Sunday morning. But they're not prepared because they don't have a foundation to know that God has a people here in this world who are supposed to be different. I'll even in the midst of thee a poor afflicted people, is what Zephaniah said, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They don't have a root and a foundation to be able to understand that those people are supposed to be different, and they rejoice in being different. They appreciate the fact that they are. But when they receive this word, anon, with joy they received it, but they spring up and they have no root, they have no ground. It's like planting it's like going out there on a concrete parking lot and laying two feet of sod or 2 feet of soil there and thinking that you can plant a tree that needs to go down 6 feet to plant its roots. It won't work. It may spring up quick. You can throw all the fertilizer you want to and it'll spring up quick. But as soon as it reaches the part where it can't go down anymore, it can't go through that concrete to form its root, that sun will just wither it away. The wind will throw it over because they don't have a foundation to build upon. And Scripture says that there's another one. Those that fall upon thorns. Fall upon thorns. You know, the Lord certainly knew what he was doing when he made this example of a thorn. Because some of the most prettiest things that you see out in nature today, pretty flowers, pretty whatever, if you get in the middle of them to try to pick one of them, they eat up with thorns. A rose bush eats you up. One of the most prettiest flowers that the Lord has ever blessed this world to have, it's got thorns on it. So in other words, it entices you to it. You know, it's almost like that tree in the midst of the garden there that enticed Adam and Eve. You know, it's just beautiful. And it'll entice you to it. I can remember the first time I put in to make one a hiding place in the middle of playing hide and seek as a kid. You'll learn quickly that even though it's a good place to hide, there's thorns in the midst of it, and it'll eat you up before you can get out of it. But the Scripture says that some of those seeds fell in the middle of thorns. He interprets it down in verse 14. He said, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard and go forth are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. They bring no fruit to perfection. They heard. They heard. It's, odds are, with joy, they received it. Anon, with joy, that they knew that what they sounded, what they had heard, pricked their heart about this Lord. They knew who they were by nature. They knew that they were in need of a living God. But their seed fell. This seed fell among thorns. And these, that as soon as they figured out what it was going to take to serve Him, said, "No, sir. No, thank you. I don't wish to put forward the effort that it takes to serve God." And it does take effort to serve God. You know, David there in 2 Samuel chapter 24, what did he say there whenever that man tried to offer him that peace for the house of God for free? He said, "I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing."
That's right.
Look at what the Lord paid for you. Paid for you with his death and his blood on the cross. Does it sound that much, too much to ask of us to sacrifice some things to serve him? You know, the word of the Lord in the book of Acts, if you'll turn over to me, there's an example there of one who the Apostle Paul was preaching to. It's in Acts chapter 26. There's another example there. Festus gives us a good example of Felix. And let's first look at the example of Felix in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 24. This is speaking of Paul. It says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." So you have a governor of the region. And he's called for Paul, says, "I want to hear about this faith in Christ." And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. A wicked man does not tremble about the judgment of God. He laughs at it. Do you know that? There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't tremble when they hear about what God is going to bring to pass. And, you know, we ought to tremble when we think about what God may bring to pass in our country. And it's very serious. It's beyond the point of just needing to mention it every once in a while. It's very serious. And we're not going to pound on it each and every week, but we need to take heed that things don't turn quickly in the state of our world today. But you know, if you go and you tell that to a lot of people, they're not going to tremble. Where is thy God, thy scoffers say? Where is he? You know, if living like this is wrong, how come I like it? How come I just get it? How come he just lets me get away with it? You know, if he disagrees with it, why didn't he just send a lightning bolt out of heaven now and kill me? You know, those kind of comments. But here you have the Apostle Paul saying here that he spoke about the judgment of God, and this man named Felix, a governor of the region, trembled. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He received this word. He trembled at this word. And he says, "When I have convenient season," that means convenient opportunity, "I'll hear it. Whenever I don't have something else scheduled for that Sunday, I'll be back. But right now my calendar's full. I got a full calendar for Sunday for the next 6 months. And when I have a convenient opportunity, I'll come back to hear about a God of judgment and a God of grace. But right now I don't have it." This was one that fell among the thorns. And then you read, if you continue reading about one named Agrippa, in chapters 26, Agrippa said unto Paul, verse 1, he said, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And Paul gave his story, his testimony, if you will, of what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord had experienced in the Lord in his life. And you know, we come down there to the end of the chapter, in chapter 26, verse 27. The Apostle Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." The Apostle Paul, during this time that he was talking to him, spoke to Agrippa, who was the grandson of Herod, and he said, "I know that thou believest these prophets." He became convinced during the time talking to him, "You believe the prophets. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You've come close, but you haven't shown me enough. I'm just not willing to do it. I'm not willing to follow the Lord." He had the Apostle Paul speaking to one of the most highest governors of the region. "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Come back whenever I have a convenient season." These are ones who are caught among thorns, and because of the riches of this world, whenever they see that it's going to take a sacrifice to serve the Lord, they're not willing to make it. They're not willing to lay down the riches of this world and say, "I'd rather go to the house of God on Sunday. I'd rather care for His people during the week. I'd rather do whatever I need to, just if the Lord will let me shine their shoes on the way in, I'll do it just to be a part of the people of the living God." But they wouldn't stoop to that level. No, not these that fell among the thorns. These are children of the living God. I stand before you today not chastising them and telling them that because they didn't do these things that they'll burn in torment. But I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you, because they chose this path of life, that there was a judgment here in this life for them. Those who choose riches over the Lord, those who trust in riches instead of trusting in the living God, will quickly become disappointed. A lot of us have wives that we trust in, husbands that we trust in, and in my opinion, there's probably no greater one on this earth that the Lord has given us than the ability to have a mate to trust in. But you can't trust in them over you, your trust in the Lord. You don't know if tonight may be their last night in the bed with you. You don't know that in the morning you may wake up and your wife of however many years may not be awake there next to you. And if all you've got is her, then I'm here to tell you you've laid your trust on something that can be taken away from you. But the Lord is one that says, Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and whosoever believeth in me should not be confounded. Trust in the Lord. He that trusteth in me will not be confounded. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. Don't lean on the riches of this world. The root of all money is the root of all evil. All evil. You know, Brother Tommy Roundtree made a good point whenever we were down there last month. Prosperity has been an enemy to the church. You know that? The Lord blessing people the way that He has in this country, and especially, I mean, you look over the last 10 years, and I'm not talking about since the collapse of, well, we won't get into that too much, but I don't know what else to call it other than a collapse. The Lord has blessed us to be sustained in the midst of it. But you look at how the Lord blessed people to... People were blessed to own homes. People were blessed to have. The poorest person in this country is better off than a lot of rich folks in a lot of other countries. Do you know that? They are. I don't think I'm the only one that stands before you this morning who can honestly say I have never gone to bed hungry. Not once. Ever laid down and closed my eyes, starving. My children claim they do because they want a sweet roll about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. But they're not hungry. They're not hungry. The Lord has blessed us. And some have looked at those riches and said, that is more important to me than serving the living God. And the Lord was telling His disciples, this is what you're going to experience. Scripture tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. There are many who are exposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of those who have not prepared their ground for it to lay, some of those who have not laid a good foundation, some mamas and daddies who have not laid a good foundation in their homes for their children, that when they hear the gospel, that they can anon with joy receive it and continue in the joy of it for many years to come. Haven't taught their children about the deceitfulness of riches, and how it looks awful, that rose bush looks awful appealing, but there's thorns in the middle of it. And it'll eat you up if that becomes more important to you than serving the living God. But He says, but that on the good ground are they which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience in verse 15. Bring forth fruit with patience. Matthew says that some bring forth fruit 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But they bring forth fruit with patience. The Lord tells us in James chapter 1 that He speaks of some of these who have received the word with patience. This would be a good time for you to read along if you are in James chapter 1. Verse 21, He speaks of those who weren't just hearers, but hearers and doers of the word of the Lord. You know, one thing that was the difference between those first three categories and this last one is that Scripture says all those first three did was hear it. They heard it. But this last group brought forth something. Fruit. And James chapter 1 talks about those who become doers of the word. In other words, who bring forth fruit. Verse 21. He says, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, the reason why he says lay apart those things is because there's some things that you need to lay aside to be a servant of the Lord. And he says lay aside these things. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 13, he says, quit ye like men, before he goes into a description of service to the Lord. That meant quit some things that you're doing. Quit your preacher worship. Quit getting drunk at communion. Quit having open fellowship with fornicators and adulterers. Quit those things. Quit ye like men. And James here says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, souls in Scripture not only describes the inner man, it describes people in general. Let me give you an example. 1 Peter chapter 3, Scripture says that 8 souls were saved by water. Speaking of Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their three wives. The like figure, whereunto doth also baptism now save us. That's talking about 8 souls, 8 people were saved by that water. And the like figure, whereunto doth also baptism now save us, not by the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That's a person. That's not the inner man. This engrafted word is the preached word of the Lord. And the reason why we know that is because you can't graft this preached word to a dead soul, life to death. But you can take and graft that which is about your eternal life. And it can become engrafted and connected to the life that lives within you. It can connect to you. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, if you only believe that there's one definition of faith in Scripture, you're going to struggle with that verse of Scripture right there. There's the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's the faith that lives within you that God put within you. There's the exercise of your faith that you should in trusting in the Lord. There's different versions of faith. And when he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," the faith which was once delivered unto the saints is revealed to the faith that lives within you. That's the reason why when you hear about a God that's done something for you and the faith lives within your heart, you can say, "Hooray, God did it all." The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." And here you have that those who receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That means that they've received this word. That means that when they heard about a Lord that did it all, they said, "Amen, He did it all." Because there was no way I could do it myself. Engrafted word. I hope we've made our point there. If not, please see me afterwards. This is not talking about the preached word saving you to an eternal home in heaven. This is talking about the preached word becoming engrafted and connected to that which lives already within you. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Those who heard the word and it fell upon good ground, they brought forth fold, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. That means that they didn't just hear it. And as soon as they exited the church house, just let it go here or there and let whatever from this world inundate their minds. They became doers of the word of God. And I can't teach you to love God. I can't teach you to love one another. The Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." But I can teach you how to exercise it because it's important to. You know, one of the most blessed experiences, and if you were at the funeral, you've already heard this, but it came to my mind while I was standing here. So I'm going to tell you the story about how God can teach. And God is not confined by the use of a man to teach His comfort to God's children. My brother, who just went home to be with the Lord last Friday, had forsaken the assembly. He grew up in the church that I grew up in, was there every Sunday, took up collection, offered prayer, anything that was called upon him, he was glad to. But whenever we moved off to go to school, he quit going. He just quit going. And looking back on it, we should have taken another path and encouraged him not to, encouraged him to stay in the house of God. But he does not know very much about the Bible. And I know that. He knows I know that. But last Tuesday morning, I got a call. I called Daddy on my way to work like I do every morning. And up until that point, he was still fighting, still thinking that he was going to survive this illness, even though the doctors had said there's nothing else we can do. But Daddy said he went in there that morning, and he was laying there awake. And he said, "Jackie, you're tired." He said, "I'm tired." He said, "I'm tired." And he said, "Well, is the Lord talking to you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what's He saying?" He said, "He's ready for me to come home." He said, "He's ready for me to come home." Now, I don't mind, I might as well go ahead and say this. I know a preacher didn't tell him this because my daddy refused to leave the door of the home because of the ones around that community that thought they needed to get in that back bedroom to save that boy's soul. He refused to let them do it. He refused to let him scare the boy to death and scare her, his mama, in the process of doing it. And so he sat out there in a rocking chair outside the door. Didn't matter what went on at the farm. Thank the Lord they sent people to check the cows for him and everything else. But he said, I will not let somebody get back there to my son and do that. So I know they didn't learn it from there. But he said he wanted to see us. And so last Tuesday, I loaded up and I went down there. Me, my sister, my cousin, there was 12 of us that he wanted to see. And I went in there and I wanted to hear him say it. I said, Jack, is the Lord talking to you? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what's he saying? He said, he's ready for me to come home. I said, well, where's home, Jack? He said, on the right hand of God. He didn't learn that from Matthew chapter 25. He didn't learn it from Matthew chapter 20. He didn't learn that sheep are on the right, goats are on the left from any word of the Lord. I tell you about a God on high who visited a boy on his deathbed and sent him comfort that it didn't matter how much I tried to have a conversation with him up to that point. The Lord talked him that on that bed. And I'll go to my grave believing it, no matter what anybody tells me, that God is not confined by the use of man to preach to his people. He visited Abraham in person and told him that he preached the gospel, the promises of God. For in thee shall all nations be blessed. He visited him in person, and he visited that boy on his bed that day. He sure did. And you want to talk about it, it didn't matter up to that point. I tried to tell him. I mean, a lot of people would ask, why so young to a 33-year-old boy? And I tried to talk to him up to that point. I said, Jack, do you realize how many times we should have died before that? I mean, I can tell you about four-wheeler wrecks that just should not have been survived. And, I mean, turned over on their head, ran flat into a tree, and everything else that me and that boy had experienced together up to that point. And I was trying to tell him, the same Lord that looked after us in those instances is going to look after you right on into death. He's not going to let you perish, and there won't be anyone, not one that his blood was shed for, that will perish in a burning hell. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, do you know any better news than that this morning? But he wouldn't hear it. He said, it's just something I've got to go through. I've got to fight. He didn't want to hear it to that point. So it didn't matter what I said to him. But I tell you, there's a Lord on high who showed something that I could not that morning. And before I left, I went back there and I said, this will be the last time I have to tell you bye. Because when I see you over there, we won't have to say bye anymore. There'll be no parting over there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. And he smiled. I was crying. He smiled. And I said, Jack, can you see? He said, yeah. I said, what's he look like? He said, he's beautiful. I'm here to tell you, child of the King, today, I can't teach you to love God. I can't put those things on your heart. But the Scripture says that we ought to exercise these things to bring them to fruit. And that we ought to exercise these things here in this life. As it is written by the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that cometh unto me and that heareth of me is taught of God in John 6 and 45. And that's not gospel minister here. And that's a taught by a God on high. He taught him that. But here we read about a ground that was made ready. I don't know how my ground got ready. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how the Lord, He blessed me to be able to marry a woman that was 10 times more spiritual minded than I was. But the Lord somehow, for some reason, saw fit. And if you're here today, the Lord, for some reason, has somehow saw fit to allow you to partake of His blessings here in this world. You know, if I'd have kept reading there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the house of Stephanus. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You want to talk about some woman bringing forth fruit? Do you have an addiction to anything? Coffee? I'm not talking about something filthy or anything like that. It may just be coffee. Some of us are. Been trying to get my wife hooked for some time now on coffee. So she'll get up early in the morning with me and sit around and drink coffee and read the Bible. She's almost got her. Almost got her. But these people, if you know what the word of addiction is, you ever heard about somebody who's addicted to drugs? They have to have more and more of it to feed their craving, feed their addiction. Those who bring forth fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, they have to do more and more of it because they have to feed that craving that lives down within them to serve God. And that's what the Lord was showing here to His disciples. You know, if you read through, you can give it a good shot on a count of, not a number count, but you can discover that the Lord preached the gospel to multitudes of people. There were masses who followed him, who heard him. But as we've made the point before in Acts chapter 1, when he ascended to sit on the right hand of God, there was 120 saints. 120. The Lord, in his gospel preaching, he scattered seed amongst the wayside, amongst the thorns, in the rocks. But there were some who fell on good ground, weren't they? And they became followers of the Lord. I ask you this morning, have you said that I'm ready to continue to bring forth the fruit that the Lord has blessed me to this point? And I'm ready to show my love better. And we all can. Better. To my brethren in the church, to my family. To bring forth fruit hundredfold. To not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word of the Lord. To be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Because if that's the mindset that you have this morning, you're the one who the Lord was preaching to right there when He made that example. And His seed fell on good ground. I'm looking right now at a whole church house full of people that I think is good ground. I think you're good ground. I appreciate you. But I tell you, that ground that was good can become very stagnant very quick if we don't feed that spiritual nature that the Lord has blessed us to have. You know, the gifts of the Lord, you know, and he made the point in John chapter 6, and I forget the verse. We spoke on it when we were down in South Georgia a few weeks ago, but he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He's saying, labor not for the meat which perisheth, because there was a lot of people who followed him because of the miracles that he did. They followed him because of the bread, not for the miracles that he did. They followed him because they got their bellies fed, as opposed to following him for who he is. They would have followed him for the miracles. They would have said, no man can do these miracles except the Son of God. But he says, ye follow me not because of the miracles, but because ye ate of the fish and were filled. But he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. That new spirit that the Lord has put within you will endure unto everlasting life. And it is important that you feed it. You don't get it within you. You feed it because it's there. It's like any gift that the Lord blesses an athlete with. A Lord may bless somebody to have perfect memory that every time, if they read something once, it's automatically stored. You ever met one of those people? Man, it makes me so mad. I tell you, it just makes you feel so stupid. Because I have to read something 10 times and they read it once and it's there. But they'll be the first to tell you that they have to exercise that gift in order to bring it to perfection. And that's what the Lord is saying. He's giving you a gift. Exercise that gift to bring it unto perfection, to bring it unto the addiction of the ministry of the saints, to bring it unto not being a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word. We've got a couple other verses that we could go to, but I think we've proven our point here. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning, and love you very much. We feel like we've been absent from you for a lot here lately, but we appreciate your long-suffering with us in that. In our illness and our family, and again, appreciate your prayers in that endeavor, and look forward to being back here with you for some time. Thank you for your kind, sweet attention.